Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans. This is your intrepid host, Kwafo Adakwa, otherwise known as Spartanzilla, coming at you with the January 11th, 2019, hard to believe we're already in 2019, edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. I have missed all of you guys. The holidays kind of took over and the pod wasn't as regular as I'd like to be, but should be on a good stretch from here to the All-Star break. Hopefully at least get you these episodes for the Friday slates and hopefully a midweek look in pod as well. I'm trying a little bit of something different here on the pod. We'll still give you over-unders, still give you Vegas totals, but we're going to try to key in on some injuries early on, talk about that, and really pare down the number of plays from each game so you kind of can get your core and get that tight, kind of like in the gym, right? You know, you got to get a tight core. So try to get that built for you. We will continue the tradition of building a lineup at the end of the show, and we'll probably build two because it's been a while since I've talked to all you guys. So we'll go and do that. And please, I'm at Spartanzilla at Twitter, at Spartanzilla also in the Lineup Logic community. So go ahead and let me know if you like a little bit of the change in format for today's show. Should also mention for 10 measly American dollars, $10 a month, you can get access through Patreon.com, through all of our Lineup Logic community. Become a patron. It gets you access to NBA and NHL cheat sheets, EPL, MMA, golf cheat sheets, pretty much any sport, you name it. There's a conversation that happens in the Slack chat, and the $10 a month is going to get you that access. It's also going to get you an e-blast of our cheat sheets. I step in there from time to time and do some NBA stuff, so there's a great wealth of knowledge in that community. So only $10 a month, best $10 you're going to spend in the industry for sure. So check it out, patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month. So with that, let's go over some of the key injuries in the NBA before we go to the game-by-game breakdown. Some of the things that we need to look for as we set lineups for the Friday slate. As of the time of this taping, which is a Thursday night, we always tape the night before, the biggest injuries I see across the association that are going to impact your DFS play are the following. We've got J.J. Redick, who's questionable, Mo Harkless, who has officially been ruled out, Damian Lillard up in Portland is also questionable, Derrick Rose is questionable, Darren Collison from the Pacers is questionable, Miles Turner also joining him in the questionable tag, Enes Kanter looks to be questionable, and Dennis Smith Jr. is already ruled out. So those are some of the key injuries and folks that are either already ruled out or have the questionable tag associated with them. Again, this is an early look podcast, so as we're building, we want to keep this in mind. You know, the NBA is such a fickle sport in times. Late scratch has gotten all of us, and you want to be kind of close to your device of choice when you're setting lineups. And be mindful of some of this news. But again, taping on a Thursday night for the Friday slate, those are the injuries kind of note to be mindful of and keep in the back of your head as you're building lineups, and they will impact the DFS slate. I'm going to walk us game by game. There's only nine games on the slate, nine big games. It's a good slate to walk through. A lot of high totals, high over-unders, and a lot of big spreads, so some big favorites in there. So we're going to watch out for blowouts and try to walk you through some of those where I see a potential for blowout coming on Friday. And again, Vegas is just a guide. You know, Vegas is wrong. They're really just trying to be efficient in their market. It's really a marketplace, and so we want to use it as a guide but not a Bible, if you will, not just something that we blindly just follow all the time, but it does give us kind of a guide and post for how we should maybe take and challenge the slate. So let's get it rolling. We'll start in the nation's capital. The Washington Wizards, much banged up. They're going to host the surging Milwaukee Bucks. The over-under is 231. Milwaukee's a 7-point favorite. On the Milwaukee side of the ball, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. Everyone knows him if you even are remotely following the NBA. He's a plug and play. With that 7-point spread, Vegas likes to think this game will be close. I tend to think it may be close. I think you could get a representative effort out of the Wiz. So I don't mind Giannis tomorrow. Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon kind of round out some of the Milwaukee plays that are of note for me in this game. You could go with Eric Bledsoe, but he's usually for me a third or fourth option on Milwaukee. Brooke Lopez is also a thing you can look at, but I think I would really keep it to my Milwaukee exposure to those the first three, Giannis, Middleton, and potentially Brogdon. On the Washington side of the ball, obviously John Wall has been ruled out for the season, so Bradley Beal steps up. He was subject to trade discussions before. It looks like Washington's at least going to hold on to him for a little while, so with that, and with sort of the style of play Washington's playing with Satoransky at the point, Beal at 8,600 on DraftKings is not a bad play in a game with a very, very high total at 231 there. I also don't mind the young big man for the Wizards, Mr. Thomas Bryant. The production's tailed off as of late. He's in the kind of 26 DraftKings points place. That's kind of where he's at production wise these days, but I still don't mind him. Milwaukee against bigs is still a thing, and that's going to probably plague them come playoff time, but Milwaukee versus bigs is a thing. So Beal and Bryant, options for you in Washington. If Otto Porter is healthy, he's not listening to any he wasn't in our rundown there, so he's 5,800 in a pace-up spot. He's another way you could look as well for Washington. So, but with nine games, you don't have to feel like you got to force and stack this game. And maybe just looking at the Milwaukee side of the ball is the way to go. Let's move along the Acela Corridor, as they call it up in the Northeast. And we have the Atlanta Hawks going to Philly to take on the 76ers. Another high total here, 231.5. The Philadelphia 76ers are big. 12.5-point favorite. Now, when I look at Atlanta, they are playing like decent basketball. I mean, they were bound to be blown out in that Toronto game. That's how Vegas had it pegged, and they showed up. I mean, they have some young players and young pieces. They you know, I think could give Philly a little bit of a run for money and keep it competitive. And I like I don't like Philly to cover that spread. On the Atlanta side of the ball, I don't mind Jeremy Lin, who's had a bit of a resurgence of late. I don't mind him. He's been inserted in the starting lineup from time to time, and his price is very fair at 4,600, so don't mind him. I also don't mind DeAndre Bembry, as Atlanta's still dealing with the injury to Torian Prince, so and Kent Bazemore. So Bembry is a play in the, you know, as a swing man for them, but really the best Atlanta play is John Collins. The talented second-year guy is under 8K. He's sort of a plug-and-play, even though he's got the tough matchup potentially if they run him at the five with the process on the other side. But I don't mind John Collins. You can do a lot worse than him on the slate. He's coming off a massive game in his last outing. He's averaging in the last 10 days on DraftKings 40.3 points. So he is a uber talented young man. One of the better guys coming out of that 2017 draft, I believe it was. He's, you know, he's a sophomore player at this point. But good play, I think, in the slate, even, you know, if he gets run at the five. So Collins, Bembry, Lin, my plays. I think I'm off Trae Young for a while. Boy, Atlanta could have had Luka Doncic, and could have been a lot different situation there in Atlanta. But que sera, sera. With the 76ers, pretty easy. We mentioned the Redick injury. Simmons, Embiid, Butler. Until otherwise told, those are your plays. Butler is most affordable of that crew at 7,600. Seems, you know, he's had his blow up with coach. So we'll see if that gets him back on a straight and narrow. This is a matchup that is enticing with the high total, and I think we'll be actually closer. And maybe that high, the Philly is a high favorite, scares some people off this. So you could be in a good spot to stack this game. So stackable matchup, Atlanta, Philly. You know the people, Simmons, Embiid, Butler on the Philly side, and potentially Korkmaz if, there's no J.J. Redick in this matchup. So don't mind those four. But really, I want to keep my plays to the big three in Philly. Let's stay on the East Coast. Let's take that train, that bullet train that goes up and down the East Coast, and go to the Garden where the Knicks will take on the Indiana Pacers. Another good story out of the association this year. Indiana's playing really good basketball. The over-under in this one is 220. Indiana is an 8.5-point favorite at the Garden on the road. For Indiana, we mentioned the injury with Collison there as a questionable tag. If that is the case, and for whatever reason he doesn't go, I like Oladipo, maybe get some running the offense. Thaddeus Young has been a thing as well for Indiana. And also with the Turner injury in this one, as we talked about, I really, really like Domantas Sabonis. Kid is, has a floor of 30 points no matter what site you're playing on, DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever. He is uber talented, a lot of skill. New York has some athletic bigs, but it doesn't scare me because Sabonis has some moves and has got athleticism of his own. So I really like Sabonis in this matchup, like Oladipo. And then maybe you could go with Corey Joseph if you're looking to dumpster dive or salary save if Collison, for whatever reason, doesn't go. But I don't really like playing Corey Joseph. I think we talked about that earlier in the season. So with the Knicks, Manuel Mudiay really has wrestled control of the starting point guard position in the Big Apple. Kind of living up to some of that promise he had. And they could just never figure out with Denver. So don't mind Mudiay at his price at 5,700. We talked about Cantor being questionable. So maybe you could talk about Luke Kornet in this one. Noel Vonleh also a play, 5,800. If you really feel like you got to get some Knicks players in here, it's Vonleh and it is Mudiay for me. I was on Kevin Knox for a while. I thought, and he probably still will pan out, but I just don't really like him in this matchup against Indy defensively. And he's struggling as it is. In Indiana also, plays pretty good defense. So for me, the Knicks of note, really Mudiay and Vonleh and move a bunch of business. So not really focusing on a lot of Knicks in this one. Moving on, a lot of East Coast games on this great Friday night slate. We'll go to the six, as they say, and the Brooklyn Nets are going up to Toronto to take on the Eastern Conference leading Toronto Raptors. The over-under is 221. The Raptors, big favorites, 9.5 points. This is another one where, I am not smarter than Vegas, because if I was, I'd be doing a lot of different things. I'd probably still do a podcast for you guys, but I'd be doing some different things. But I still, I've watched Brooklyn play this year. It's a different kind of ball club. They are going to play you hard. They're going to play you tough. Toronto just had a bit of a battle, if you will, with the Hawks. So, they are a good team, and they're likely the Eastern Conference representative in the NBA Finals this year, if all goes to plan. But I like Brooklyn to keep it close, and I don't think this is a blowout, even though Vegas kind of sees it that way. So, on the Brooklyn – so, again – We're looking at stackable games. It's another stackable game. The Brooklyn side of the ball, D'Angelo Russell, definitely GPP, not a cash game guy for me, but Russell can fill it up with the best of them in the business, averaging darn near 40 points on DK over his last 10. So he's definitely a guy I would look to target on the Friday night slate. Also looking, you know, with the injuries in the front court over the course of time on the Toronto side, I don't mind Jared Allen in this matchup. He's affordable at 5,500, so he helps if you're trying to, you know, get one of these studs that we're talking about, you know, Giannis or, you know, Harden that we'll talk about later in the show. So Allen is also a play. Some of the swing players in Brooklyn, Carolyn Harris, DeMar Carroll and Joe Harris, also good salary savers as well. So that's the Brooklyn kind of lowdown. With Toronto, Kyle Lowry is back in the fold, looking pretty spry. Give me some Kyle Lowry in this game, so I'm not really scared of Brooklyn's defense. Also, Kawhi, one of the studs I don't mind paying for on the Friday night slate. So Kawhi, always a thing. Like the young talent in Pascal Siakam. So Siakam also at 6,700. You know what you're getting there. You know, a floor of 30 upside to maybe 40, 45 DK points. So Leonard, Siakam, Lowry, my Toronto plays. Ibaka kind of plays better with Lowry back in the lineup as well. So it's I'll throw in a four pack for you of Raptors. So that should be a good game. I think it's going to be better than people give it credit for. So be mindful of that as you build your lineups. Let's move on down to Texas and the Houston Rockets hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. The over-under in this one is 217.5. Houston, big, big favorites. Two touchdowns, 14.5-point favorites on Friday. This one, I think Vegas has pegged correctly. Cleveland is a mess right now. Injuries, you know, Larry Nance is out for quite some time. It sounds like, you know, a couple weeks at a minimum with the MCL sprain. We didn't mention him, you know, as a overnight injury because he's just, you know, he's been injured. So folks who have been playing should know about that. And I just really don't know where a ton of production is coming for Cleveland. I do know Alec Burks has been a thing with some of the injuries that Cleveland has suffered and just the rotations. Burks has been a pretty steadying influence since coming over from Utah. You know, it's not sexy, but he kind of helps you build out your roster, and he's sub 5K on DraftKings. So definitely don't mind Alec Burks. You know, he's going to get some run. This is an up-tempo, it's a pace-up spot for Cleveland going to Houston. So don't mind Burks. And Tristan Thompson, he gave a lot of people fits in DFS world on Wednesday. They were concerned because he was a game-time decision with a foot injury. He ended up playing and playing okay. And it'll just be interesting to see if they keep him in the fold, what they do. Do they move him? You know, Thompson's, you know, one of the last vestiges and holdovers from the glory run they had with King James and Kyrie and everything else. So Thompson is a viable asset, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. If he does play and suit up, I mean, he doesn't have a questionable tag or anything like that, but again, if Wednesday is any guidepost for us, I'm going to watch Mr. Thompson and see what Cleveland does with him. But if he plays, I do like him in this matchup, even going up against the Capella. I think he can hold his own. So for Cleveland, it's Thompson, it's Burks, and then shut the door on the Cavs because they are lying down for Zion. I think they're sort of doing in Cleveland, try to get a lot of ping pong balls for the lottery. With the Rockets side of the ball, my goodness gracious, James Harden is on fire. The guy is playing at an MVP level. I mean, obviously he's reigning MVP. Since the Chris Paul injury, he has just been a man possessed. You know, you're getting a floor and most nights of 55 or 60 points, no matter the site you play on, with an upside of, you know, 80 points, maybe even 85 points. So only problem in this one is a blowout potential. So I don't feel like I'm not going to tell you to fade Harden because the guy is just ridiculously, you know, on fire right now. But you can probably get away with, you know, if you're doing mass multi-entry, you know, maybe 20% exposure to Harden. You know, you can get away with that, and I think you'd still be all right because there's enough game and enough diversity in the games to build a lineup without Harden. But it is hard to say to full-on fade this guy because he is just – I'd be doing you a disservice. The guy is out of control with the injuries to Paul and Gordon and just what he's doing and what he's allowed to get away with the step backs and push-offs and getting to the free throw line. He's just an offensive nightmare for people. So Harden at 12-5, you got to pay up for him, but you know the floor right now. The guy's out of control. Clint Capella, kind of alongside that, he's come along with the ride. He's under 8K. That's like stealing. You know, even in three quarters and some change, I think Capella can get you there. He can, you know, he can 5-6x his price at 7,600 on DraftKings. So that's kind of stealing. You might want to think about Capella on Friday night. Don't mind Joel Green. Don't feel like you had to play, you know, you got to force him in. Same with PJ Tucker. If he's the last, those guys are your last parts of your build, okay, but don't feel like you got to force him in. Really, for me on the Rockets, Harden, Capella, call it good, in what's potentially going to be a blowout game. Let's move on to Minneapolis, and they are talking about a team that's in like a little bit of turmoil. The Timberwolves are hosting the Dallas Mavericks. The over-under I have is 222. The Timberwolves are 5-point home favorites. We all know, if you follow the league, the Timberwolves you know, let their coach go after a win, of all things, over the weekend. So Tom Thibodeau's out. Young Saunders is in. You know, Flip's kid is in there coaching. Seems to like Andrew Wiggins. You know, we'll see what happens there. You've heard rumors about Fred Hoiberg coming in and either being GM and coach, or just GM, or somehow getting the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, in. So we'll see what happens with Minnesota. I'm not sold on some of the talent in terms of their motor. So, you know, for DFS purposes, I think we're fine. But long-term for Minnesota, I think they got to do some questions and answers about, you know, building around Karl-Anthony Towns and Wiggins, and do those guys have what it takes to be contenders in the West? For DFS purposes, because that's why you guys are listening, let's talk about Dallas first. They got the rookie of the year. Just go ahead and give him the trophy now. My guy Luka Doncic, my crush. I mean, the guy is super talented, and you knew this was going to happen coming over from, you know, the EuroLeague, playing in that, basically, you know, that second division of basketball in terms of second best league in the Spanish league. So he was talented as a teen, led his team over there in EuroBasket. I mean, he's just a player. He's a stud. You can play him. He's still, to me, probably underpriced. He's 8,400 on the slate. In the last time, in his last game out, I mean, he put up 51 points. So especially, as I mentioned, with DSJ out, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., Luka, all systems go in this one. The game is supposed to be close. Give me a lot of Luka. The other Mavs to note here, with DSJ out, JJ Barea, salary saver, you can throw him in your lineups, DeAndre Jordan, and Harrison Barnes. Barnes is one of those last-minute fillers. Jordan going up against Towns, I think he can do some work, because we know Cat is allergic to defense. Doesn't take, you know, he's just, you don't need algae pills there. I mean, he's just not a good defender in the low post. And DeAndre should get upwards of 15 to 17 rebounds in this one, I think, pretty easy. And what I think will be a little bit of a back and forth game, because I think that's the way Minnesota wants to play. So with respect to the Timberwolves, Three guys stand out to me. Obviously, we started the show talking about Derrick Rose being questionable. If he goes, it changes up things a little bit. You may want to think about maybe rostering him. Or what I like to do is kind of give it a game for people coming off injury before I roster him. I don't jump right in. Maybe it's a flaw of mine. Maybe I need to be a little bit more aggressive and do that. But for Minnesota, Cat is still, you know, even just despite my questions, is still a force in the middle. He's 10-2. He should be able to, you know, get close to 5X in that, you know, on that salary on DK. Wiggins, you know, played well in his last matchup. Maybe he's free of Thibodeau and now he can maybe play a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know if I buy it. He's coming off the monster game, but I don't know if I buy long-term viability. You know, Harrison Barnes is still a representative defender, so Barnes will be guarding Wiggins a lot. So we'll see what happens there. And then Jeff Teague. Dallas doesn't have much defensively. You know, Luka still got some struggles on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, Jeff Teague is a guy underrated as a point guard, always underrated when his time's in Atlanta. It's a guy who can, you know, he can do some things for you in the backcourt, and he's 6,700. So don't mind Mr. Teague as well if you're looking to roster T-Wolves in this matchup. Let's move on to Salt Lake City, where the Utah Jazz will be taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. Over-under is 217. Utah is a 9-point favorite, which I find hard to believe considering their backcourt is a hot, hot, hot mess. Let's start with the Lake show. They're coming off the nice win against my Pistons. Don't get me started on the Pistons. I know they're playing right now, but they are, yeah. This show is not about the Pistons. Not about my wants. It's about what you guys want as listeners, so we'll go into that. The Lake show with LeBron still out. Kuzma had the really big game, the 41 points, setting all sorts of Laker records in three quarters to get 41 points. Pretty amazing. So you can't go wrong rostering Kuz, even in the paced-on matchup. Lonzo, don't mind, but it's really Kuz and Brandon Ingram who, you know, get a lot of ball handling in the stead of Mr. LeBron James. He's played well. He's averaging more minutes, obviously averaging more points. So Ingram and Kuzma, kind of my guys in this matchup on Friday on the Lake Show. People like to roster Hart, Josh Hart, KCP. Nah, well, I don't want to go there. If I'm looking at other Lakers you could roster, just keep it at Kuz and Ingram. And if you really want to stack it up, go ahead and add Lonzo to the mix on the Lake Show. That's kind of where your production lies there. And Don't make it hard on yourself. We tend, that's a little sidebar, we try to make DFS way harder than sometimes it has to be. Sometimes the answer's kind of right in front of you. If you're going to play Lakers in Utah either on a late slate or you're going to play, you know, any kind of exposure to this, you know where the production lies in here. No need to get cute on a Lake Show side of the ball. For Utah, Point Mitchell, you know, Donovan Mitchell playing, running the point guard and just freewheeling, even though he's had a down season. With no Rubio, no Exum, I don't even think Neto's playing, or Neto, I should say, is playing. no Grayson Allen. I mean, the backcourt is super depleted, so Mitchell's going to get all the run he can handle. Lakers are going to try and push the pace on Utah. Utah, you know, probably try to get, you know, with it being at home, will try to keep it at their own pace. But I like Donovan Mitchell a lot in this matchup. You know, he's coming off a big game. Maybe he's starting to figure out, like I said, he's going to have free reign to do whatever he wants in that backcourt. So, like Donovan Mitchell a lot. Can't go wrong with Gobert because, you know, L.A. doesn't have much of a threat in the bigs. And then I also like Joe Ingles, you know. Sometimes looks like he's a car repairman, but Joe Ingles can ball, man. Like, if anyone watches the game, Ingles can do some things on the court in a lot of different ways, so like Ingles in this one as well. So this one, even though the total does not show it. I don't mind stacking, you know, a couple Lakers, Mitchell, Gobert, and Ingles. Be a little different. Late Night Hammer. I think this might even be the ESPN game, too. So settle in, get, you know, an adult beverage, chill out, and watch Lakers and Jazz. And I think this might be a little sneaky spot to stack as well. So let's move on up to the Rose City. The Portland Trail Blazers are going to be hosting the Charlotte Hornets. The over-under is 223. Portland is a 6.5-point home favorite. Charlotte side of the ball, really easy for me these days. If you're playing any Hornets, it's got to be Kemba, maybe Jeremy Lamb. They've had some front court injuries in Charlotte as well, you know, with Cody Zeller going out. But I don't like their front court players. Marvin Williams is a guy in the front court that you potentially could play, but on a 9-game slate, I don't know why you really need to go there. There's other ways and other flexible pieces you can get. So Lamb and Kemba for me there. Charlotte, got to watch on the Portland side of the ball. We talked about it at the beginning with Mr. Lillard, potentially questionable in this matchup. If he sits, I like CJ McCollum a lot. If Dame goes, don't like CJ as much. Definitely like Nurk, Yusuf Nurkic. The Portland is using him a lot. He's getting a lot more usage lately. They're running the offense through him. He's 8,100. Price is starting to creep up with his production. But the biggest thing with him is always foul trouble. If he's on the floor, he is super, super productive as a player. So I really like Nurk. Again, with a late night hammer, you get Nurk, you get CJ. You got to watch for Dame, so you might not get news when you need it if you're, you know, locking for main slate. But maybe you take a chance and play CJ McCollum. So like all those Blazers, and also like Evan Turner with Mo Harkless out as a salary saver and a guy that kind of can fill up the stat sheet in a lot of different ways. So really, just the one side of the ball in this one is where I'm looking. You know, Charlotte, we talked about it, but Portland is really the way to go if you're playing anybody from that matchup. To close out shop on the game by game rundown, we will go to the defending champs in Oakland, California. The Golden State Warriors are hosting the once proud and mighty Chicago Bulls. The over-under is 221.5. Golden State, a huge favorite. Biggest favorite of the night. 15.5-point favorites. Golden State, if you have watched NBA in the last 5 years, you know where the production is there. Steph, Clay. So I'm blending those two together, the Splash Brothers. So Steph, Clay, Durant, you know, it's pretty much old news, right? Everybody knows who you can play. I would be very worried about the blowout here. So don't know how many Warriors I'm going to play. Chicago has played better, but I mean, it's the champs. Soon to get Boogie Cousins back. And I mean, it's just going to make it even just not more fun once he gets integrated in that offense. But without Boogie, it's Steph, Clay, and KD. Not so much on Draymond in this matchup, even though he's a fair price at 7K on DK. On the Chicago side of the ball, the backcourt doing well. LaVine and Dunn, both ways to go. Because they're going to get their run, and it's going to be pace up. And again, LaVine has not seen a shot he doesn't like, but that can help us in DFS if he's hitting. So both he and Dunn are both viable to some extent. And then Lauri Markkanen and the pace up matchup, you know, in that front court where sometimes, you know, Golden State's defense has struggled this year. I like him a lot. He's sub 6K. He's 5,900. So I like Lauri Markkanen a lot in this game against the defending champs. So don't really like Carter Jr. We're going to have Portis back in the mix. So it's a bit of a issue, kind of a jumble in the front court. For me, the safest play in the front court for Chicago is Lauri Markkanen. So that is a game by game. Generally kind of did it in the same format we've done before, but I try to pare down some of that analysis on the game-by-game front and try to get you into a few plays. Now we got to do what we do. We got to make it do what it do, as they would say. And let's get into building lineups for the DraftKings slate. So let's start with a lineup here. You know, let's start with that last game I just talked about. Let's do that. Let's build a lineup that starts with Mr. Lauri Markkanen. So I'm going to put him in at my – let's put him at the forward spot for now. All right, let's go with Lauri Markkanen. Where'd you go? All right, 5,900. All right. Okay, let's put him in. Talked about this guy a little bit. Let's see if I can find him. Yeah, there he is. In this matchup against the Lakers, sneaky, late-night hammer, Donovan Mitchell. Join the squad, sir. All right, so you're on the squad. He's got a running mate. Production is going to be out there to be had with all the injuries in Utah. I talked about him. He could, you know, fix your air conditioning. He could be doing a lot of things. But the dude can ball. Joe Ingles, you join the squad. So we've got 6,100. A lot of money to play with. A lot of money to play with. Let's find another guy that I was talking about. And I'm going to put him at the power forward spot. This is my guy. Mr. Sabonis from Indiana, join the squad, power forward, please. Okay. Still got 5,750. Got lots to play with. Let me get the big man. Let's get a man in the middle. No, this one's a little tricky now. So I'm going to go with this guy, but got to be mindful of news. It's pace up for him. It could be a blowout potential, but Tristan Thompson at price is tempting to me. So I'm going to have him join the squad, Tristan Thompson. All right, so I've got 5,733, your player. I need to fill point guard, guard, and utility. Let's go off the radar a little bit at point guard. Let's see if I can get this guy in. Let's see what I'm looking at here. Oh, yeah, let's get this guy. Let's see. We talked about him a little bit. From the Knicks, tough matchup, but I don't mind it because of what's going on. Let's put him in. Emmanuel Mudiay, point guard. You are joining the squad. So I've got two spots left, 5,750. Let's see what we can do here. Oh, here's a guy that needs to find his way to my squad. And given what I think is a matchup I talked about, Brandon Ingram. Come on, Lake Show guy. You join the squad. Leaves me 4,900 left, okay? What can I do with 4,900? Okay. Oh, there's a guy I talked about. Yeah, I know where he is. I'll find him. Again, pace up spot, taking the contrarian side of it, even though could be a blowout potential. No risk, no reward, no guts, no glory. Alec Burks, let's join the squad at 4,800. Why not, right? Why not? There's some other guys in this price range, but let's go with Burks. All right, so we have filled out this roster with $100 left. This is what I'm going to call the balance build. So it's just one way to look at it, looking at it the night before. Mudiay, Mitchell, Ingles, Sabonis, Tristan Thompson, Brandon Ingram, Lauri Markkanen, and Alec Burks. So definitely balance build. Leaves you $100 left. One way to approach a slate. I know we got some Cavs in there, but it's only two Cavs that I had mentioned. And some of the Utah players as well, but I don't mind that build. I don't mind that build for GPPs to be a little different. So, all right, let's build one more. All right, let's build one more and call it a show. Let's get the guy in. Right, it's just at this point. I mean, it's a foolhardy. You got to build a lineup with this guy in it. Right, you just got to. So James Harden, you join the squad. If I'm having a core, this guy has got to be a part of it, man. I talked about it. It's Mr. Sabonis. Put him at center this time. So Harden and Sabonis. Let's see. I've got, it leaves me an even 5,000 a player, so I got to be a little crafty here. Let's see if we can get. Yeah, let's do this. Let's build our small forward spot. And let's see what we can do here. I'm going to go back to the well. And I'm going to put in Mr. Ingles there. Small forward. Okay, it leaves me 48.60. So I got to start finding a way to save some money. Save big money. Let's see what we can do here. You know a guy I didn't mention that I actually think could do okay in this matchup for Brooklyn? Let's go Shabazz Napier. Let's put him in. 4,300. Saves us some cash. All right. Gets back up to 5K. So let's put Napier in point guard. All right. So I got 5K. Let's build this lineup. Let's do some things here. By the way, these are all GPP lineups. I would not play any of these. You know, this kind of, you know, obviously you play like Harden and Cash, but I'm a GPP guy. So when I'm giving you these lineups, it's definitely kind of with that bend to it. So if you didn't know by now from listening to the pod, so 5K right now. Let's see. We need to get a power forward. Let's see. What about this guy? I talked about him. Mr. Thomas Bryant, you join the squad, all right? All right, three spots to fill, 4,800. What are we going to do? All right, I know one way we can go, that guard spot. Let's see if I can find them again. Yeah, Mr. Burks, you know the floor. Not sexy, but we put him in there, 4,800. Gives us 4,800 left for forward and utility. Let's see. What do we like? What can we do? What can we do to build a lineup here? Mention this guy. Don't mind him. You know what? No, I'm going to go this way. I had one idea. I'm going to pivot right here on the fly. I'm going to add Evan Turner to the squad with Mo Harkless out. So that boosts me up. I've got 5,600 to play with. Where can we go? 5,600. That's a lot. On DraftKings. A couple different places. A couple different players. Who do I like the best? Let's see. There's a couple guys in here. Tucker, Herder, Jeremy Lin. You know what? I'm going to put in. Let's go with Thad Young from Indiana. Pair him up with Sabonis. Let's do that. All right. No money left over. So this is a lineup with Harden. And when you put Harden in, it makes your builds a lot harder. But Shabazz Napier, Mr. Beard, James Harden, Joe Ingles, Thomas Bryant from the Wiz, Sabonis in the middle, Alec Burks, Evan Turner, and Thad Young. So, and it leaves you no money left over. So a second build, a second way to go, you know, and just ways to kind of think about it. And, you know, especially, and I mentioned this for the folks that are Slack members, be a little different in the GPP lineups. Try to take a little bit of a risk if you're going to play GPPs and be different. So some of these builds are kind of off the wall, but you got to be off the wall to be different. Everybody's got access to information and data and knowledge these days. There's builds, there's optimizers, whatever, you know, there's all sorts of stuff out there. Just try to be different. Try to think through, try to watch as many games as you can and be a little different on the slate. So with that, we've built lineups. We've gone game by game rundown. I've given you my Twitter handle, and I'll give it to you again. It's at Spartanzilla. It's the same in Slack. I appreciate you listening, as always. Appreciate any feedback you have. Like, review, rate us on iTunes or the other places you get this podcast. And please have a fun and profitable Friday night in the National Basketball Association. We will talk to you soon. Once again, from all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, from all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, from all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, from all it is and worth.